Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is your good friend, the very esteemed and well-travelled Clarence Copernicus Cloverleaf, welcoming you to another exciting edition of Cloverleaf Radio, hosted by the host with the most, Jimmy Falcon. You can always feel free to call in at 602-753-1883 to ask a question to the host or any of his well-established guests. Just please remember when calling in to be on your best behavior. This is a G-rated show, you know. Hey, that was a wicked rhyme! Anywho, just be sure to be kind and courteous. Now, on to the main event!
Alrighty, we're back for another exciting edition of Cloverleaf Radio. I'm the frog in the throat. I mean the host with the most, Jimmy Falcon. There is something going around. It's the Central Illinois bug of the summer. And I'm fighting the tail end of it, it seems like. So I'm still kind of hoarse, and I hope I don't have a coughing fit or something, because that's not very professional. But it is an honor to be back with you guys, and it's also an honor to welcome our special guest. She's the queen of the paranormal, Kat Rocha. Ona Carol, K.O., what's going on?
Hey, what's going on there? You know, you're saying you've got a frog in your throat? Before you answered, you know, the phone there, I was coughing up a storm. We got the same situation out here in New Hampshire.
Oh.
I think all of the pollen or something just all of a sudden decided to be reborn again, and it came to me. I woke up all congested, coughing my head off, and I'm saying,
oh, no.
Wow, I better get well. I'm leaving on Thursday to come down to Silicon, and I want to be in tip-top shape for that.
That's what I'm saying. It seems like, you know, I hardly ever get sick, which I'm very thankful for. But anytime I have a convention or a trip, it's like you got to come down with some little thing like a week or two before. And you're always like, oh, my gosh, I hope I'm okay by the time this trip comes. And well, I hope you're okay
yeah.
as well. It'll be nice to
oh,
see you.
I'm going to be fine. I years ago, I used to sing in bands. And inevitably, before a huge occasion, I would have like laryngitis, and then when by the time I got to the stage, had a hot toddy, it was gone. And I talked to many musicians and singers, and some of them experience the same thing. It's you get nervous, and that's what happens. And so I learned to accept it. And but this time I know, you know, I'm going to SoCon, I'm not nervous. I mean, I can't wait to see everybody and. You know, make brand new friends and get to see some old friends. I just think it truly has to do with the pollen in the air out here.
Yeah, you may be right. And I hope that's it, because it is a really weird time for something to be going around.
Well, yeah, you know, we got we have this monster storm coming in, Dorian, over the coast down in Florida, and then you know up towards Georgia and stuff. And I wonder, you know, all that wind and everything whipping around, even though it's out on the coast, New Hampshire, we got a small sea coast, we're a small state, but I'm only about 25 minutes from the beach, so we do get a lot of sea wind. So I got a feeling. Like I said before, something's stirring up something.
Absolutely. And going into something that I've always had a fascination for is the paranormal. And you have done so
okay.
much work in that over a long period of time. What made
right.
you first get interested in paranormal and spirits?
Well, it wasn't something that I got interested in. It was just something that came about when you grow up in a household of, you know, my grandmother, my bacha, my bacha rogala, my stara babka. I thought this was a normal way of life to be able to see things, feel things. My grandmother, my bacha, she was a fabulous dream interpreter. And I get that gift from her and just continued. I mean, we go way back to Poland and Russia, and I'm also part Abenaki out of Newport, Vermont on my dad's side. So I have Native American in me, and It's just something you thought everybody was like this, and then I moved from that, you know, nice little Polish neighborhood in Rhode Island to Massachusetts, and like everybody thought you were a freak or something, until their parents wanted readings when I was in high school. So that changed. But you know, I've always been a person that just kind of stuck to her own dreams, and regardless of what people say, do, or whatever, I've always had a good gut instinct and just kept it that way and kept on a straight path. And I call it like with earmuffs and blinders on. I look at it this way. If you're not going to pay my retirement, don't tell me anything. I'm doing just fine. If you got something rotten to say and you're going to pay my retirement, I'll sit there and listen to you for a while. Other than that,
make it worth my time if you're going to downgrade me, right? I guess I don't really my question to me now doesn't make sense, because I don't quite understand what you feel and what you can see, because my interactions have been very limited actually at where I work. Sometimes I felt like someone will have pushed me from behind, like brush past, and there's no one around for anything. And that was just most recently.
At that point, there is a spirit around, and maybe somebody just wants to get your attention because they do know you're sensitive and they do know that you will be receptive to them. And sometimes spirits just want to be known that they're there, and you gave them validity by feeling it, by, you know, looking like, yeah, hey, there's no one there. That mere action that you gave probably just set them free. Because that's what they were looking for all the time, was validation so that they could go on. And you provided that, and they go to people that they know are sensitive, and they know that they can, validate their existence.
Oh, I'm sensitive. For a 6'4" guy that's about 280, I'm a pretty sensitive little bug. I have a lot of emotions, which is good. It's good to be able to express your emotions openly, and I love having fun and acting like a goofball most of the time.
Hey, like I said, we're going to get along just great, because that's me, 100%. I take life in stride, you know. There's no sense being a grumpy old woman or a man or, you know, anything. Life is an experience, and it's supercharged with energy, and just enjoy it. And pass it forward to other people. And I'll be doing a lot of that at PhilCon.
That's unfortunate. It seems like, you're a kid and you have a bunch of fun and you act like you're how you want to act. And the more you get up, it seems like the world and society pushes you to be an adult and you have to do this and pay your bills and go to sleep at a certain time. And I think you should kind of, bring some stuff from, you always have to kind of be a child. Even if you're 40, 50, 70, you still have to have some fun, and or you're going to be an old curmudgeon.
Well, looking this way, we're not dead yet. There's a lot of living to go. And people can go out on a street corner, step into the road and die at any age. People can drop dead of a heart attack. I mean, so why don't you just enjoy yourself and stop being so miserable? You know, just be happy, enjoy yourself, and thank God you're here one more year. Celebrate the existence of life. And that's what I try to talk to people about and mentor people with that. And of course, it's all looped into the paranormal and the positive energy. Positive energy is an attractant to the paranormal, as far as if you want to communicate with people. And I'll be glad to have you come over to my peering table, and I can, just work with you, chat with you, and I'll let you feel what the energy that remains feels like. This is what I do. I'm a little different. I do debunking, of course, but I want people to feel what it feels like to intercept that energy from the past. And when you leave my table, you're going to be like, oh my God, I can't believe I felt that. And I have not disappointed one person in all the years I've been doing it. And this goes back to, when I was very, very young. So
that is so neat. I think that's awesome. And you have that ability inside of you and you're willing to share it with people, because I know that somewhere there has to be people that aren't willing to share that. There's greedy people everywhere.
Well, you know what? And I don't like them. They have their own ability, and maybe they want to keep it private for family and friends, and I understand that. My whole message is I'm dedicated, in, you know, to helping others succeed in their career goals, and that's also in the goal of gaining, you know, contact with relatives or animals that have passed away. And it's very important to me to be able to show people, you know, what it feels like when you intercept that energy that remains. And yeah, we can go ghost hunting. We can do all that kind of stuff. That, a lot of that stuff's been done to death. But do you really feel something? If you really want to feel something and you want to experience that feeling in real time, you come to me. And I am hired by beyond like A-rated celebrities. Call me up. Well, they don't call me. They get a hold of me through my agent. But yeah, and we all sign, you know, NDA agreements, non-disclosure agreements, and we have readings, and we have go ghost hunting together, and it's different, you know, way different. I even work with politicians, and say we are very quiet about that, but everybody from every belief system on down to even atheists can feel the energy that passed away, I mean, of the past. And that's important for me to be able to share that message. Never mind the ghost hunting or, you know, all of this kind of stuff. Because, you know, paranormal is not just for ghost hunting. Paranormal is anything that borders and outside of the realm of normal. That's why they call it paranormal. It parallels normal.
That is amazing. So cool. And I noticed you are also involved with preserving the legacy of The Exorcist. I noticed you did some work with them with the Blu-ray. How did all that come about?
Yes, I did.
I've done some stuff and read a lot about Roland Doe, and actually got my picture taken with one of the crosses from the Alexian Brothers Hospital.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I'm going to have to credit Bob Boyd. Bob Boyd from Boyd Communications had in his possession these reel-to-reel interviews with Father Gallagher. Now, Father Gallagher mentored William Peter Blatty, who put together, you know, the book The Exorcist, which subsequently went to the movie. And William Peter Blatty was a student of divinity where Father Gallagher was his professor at Georgetown University. So Bob Boyd and Mike Siegel, who was a radio show host in Boston, now he's out in Los Angeles, had these tapes from the interviews way back when The Exorcist first came out. They just went down there, The Exorcist came out, they got the interviews. And he told me one day, he says, you know what? I got these tapes. Maybe we should do something with them. So we paid money to have them transferred to DVD from the reel-to-reel, which was an extreme process because these things were old. You know, you had to take care of them. And I started to do back-to-back editing where Father Gallagher would say, "You unclean spirits," and then the movie would say, "You unclean spirit." But what the movie did not show was that The Exorcist itself, these files that during the interview of Father Gallagher, he was holding a batch of files. These files are called the Bishop's Files. These files are the exact account of the exorcisms that they compiled and combined together to create that book, The Exorcist. These are the genuine original Bishop's Files. And every time that there was an exorcism, you would need 70 to 150 people witnessing this exact thing and signing and writing down what they saw as it's going on. And this is why I tell people, you think you have a demon in your house and you think you've got a demon in a child, call the frickin' news And that head should still be spinning by the time the news gets over to your house, and all the books should still be flying off. And there you have all your witness statements in real time. They had it in real time as well. They had people watching this in real time in the house.
Wow.
And they signed the documents and they wrote it down, and William Peter Blatty combined the different exorcisms into making it into Linda Blair, which who originally in the exorcism was a boy. It wasn't a girl. And so what I did was I took the Bishop's files, matched it up with the actual Hollywood movie as to what was real and what was not real. Then that project, that took me a couple years. I was working on it and test marketed it at different events and stuff so people could watch it. And then we felt brazen enough to go down to, you know, Los Angeles and Warner Brothers and talk to them about it. And they bought it. They bought a license agreement. They bought like 20 minutes of a four-hour tape that we had. And what they actually bought was my editing section. And when they took it, they glitzed it up with Hollywood stuff. But if you watch my original stuff that was submitted to Warner Brothers, it's exactly the same. They followed the same pattern. And I'm honored that they took it and paid us. And I can always say that I'm part of that Exorcist legacy now. So that's what I did.
Yeah, just 2 years' work just, you know, compiling everything and doing all the editing is – that's a whole lot of work itself. And then, you know, having to get into your, you know, feelings and go, now I need to, you know, go to Los Angeles. That's a whole other set of steps. So it seems
right.
like
and,
you
and
did work tirelessly.
I worked really hard on it with Bob Boyd. And there was a situation where we were editing. We were just trying to make some copies of a DVD. And in editing, you can detach the audio from the video. We didn't do any of that. We were just trying to move the different clips around. But when we sealed it up as a DVD, the audio was all messed up. All the sequences were wrong. My partner, Bob Boyd, he started sweating profusely, like this slimy stuff. I thought the man was going to have a heart attack. So, and then on the way to the event, our very first event to test market this, we ran off the road. And we couldn't get the car out of the ditch. I mean, the list goes on of like, oh, my God, it wasn't just the tape. It went right to the video, too. And what an experience. There was some dangerous stuff going on. So there's a lot to talk about when it comes to that. And, you know, so now we got to put away in a safe place. Nobody can, you know, take it out and get hurt. The actual DVDs, we put them away along with the reel-to-reels because just too much, too much.
Yeah, I'm sure it would not be easy and just very, even chilling, I would say, in certain aspects of it.
Well, yeah, you would. We both experienced extremely haunting dreams, and it wasn't like a placebo effect. We were dreaming the same things at night, him and I, just very
wow.
weird. And now Father Gallagher was long dead, so we couldn't call him and say, hey, look in the bishop's file. Did this happen? We don't know. All we know is we know as much as we did know through the interviews that Bob did and Mike Siegel did. It was, I was a little bit on the younger side when The Exorcist came out, so I learned about it later on and, you know, all of that. So that was a remarkable thing that I'll always cherish and, you know, and move forward and share it with everybody.
And moving forward, I noticed you worked in Toxic Tutu. And we had on Wood Coffin, gosh, probably about a year or so ago. He was just very great.
Yes.
What was
nice
it like
guy.
Working
yeah.
on that?
Well, I met Joe Nardelli. Now, Joe Nardelli and Mike Coughlin and Mark Torgel, the original mop boy from Toxic Tutu,
mm-hmm.
From Toxic Avenger, we got together. And we were down in, where were we? I think it was like Martinsville, I think Virginia was the name of the place we went. We did a, it was a Comic-Con down there. And Joe Nardelli needed a ride because his ride crapped out on him. So they said, hey, you know, KO is going down there. We'll see if she can pick me up. He gets in the car. I said, I'll drive you. You give me a part in that movie. That's what I told him. And that's how that was. So he wrote me in to the movie based on I drove his butt down there and home and didn't charge him a dime. So it was a fun experience. And we also filmed, there was two other movies, a couple of scenes of one movie, a couple of scenes of another movie, and then the scenes from Toxic Tutu. And who else was in those movies, the other movies, was Jeremy Ambrose from The Walking Dead. I can't wait to see him. We're very good friends. I was so excited to see him on the SoCon bill. So we're in a couple movies together. And it's nice to see old friends, you know, when you travel.
Now I would feel, excuse me, man, I'm telling you, this frog wants out.
Hey, it's okay. Don't worry. I'm congested myself right now, so.
It's a coughing podcast.
Yeah, right.
That could have a double meaning, too, since we're both kind of, we could both be kind of, I like Paul, old school coughing design is very awesome, so. It's a coffin show. But I'd feel left out if I didn't bring up my dear friend Brian K. Morris.
And
of course, Charles Moisant.
Yes, I love him too. And I always pronounce his name wrong. I apologize. But Brian and Charles and I go way back, and I love them both dearly. And I'm meeting Brian for the first time down in SoCon, and it's a huge, huge deal for me because I see Charles on the road. We travel. We go to the same convention.
Oh, yeah.
I see, you know, Phyla Barnhart all the time, and
yes.
It's nice to work with them. But it's great to be able to actually meet, you know, Brian. He's the author of, you know, the Haunted Tales of Bachelor's Grove. And the great
yes.
thing about this is we're going to actually have a photo shoot at the cemetery on Sunday. And all in our costumes and everything. So it's going to be a wonderful. And I think Ron Fitzgerald is going to join us for some photographs. And Brian and Charles are going to participate in my panel discussion, our panel discussion. At 5:15 to 6:00 at SoCon. And the great thing about this is, you know, the spot is kind of like near dinner, and I'm like, wow, that's kind of like not a really good time to have a, you know, a panel discussion. But then I thought about it, and I said, you know what? In California, it's only 3:00. There you go. I got connected with my friend Jimmy Starr and Ron Russell, and I asked if I could partner up with them so we could bring over 4.6 million viewers in for that panel discussion. And it all of a sudden, everything opened up. And that's something that many people don't do. You know, I they're the guys on the red carpet in Hollywood, if you watch the Emmys or anything like that. They're the first ones there to interview people. That's how big they are. And they pull down a huge audience. So we're going to share it with them. And they're going to put it up on their show. And it looks like it's going to be extremely successful when we talk about the making of that superhero character and stuff. So I'm very, very happy that I'm going to meet Brian. Charles is going to be part of it. And Eric Hawkins is coming in. And by the way, Jimmy Starr and Ron Russell and I and Eileen Shapiro, we're doing a comic book also. So it's nice to partner up with people like that.
Yeah, and Ron Fitzgerald, I have so much love and admiration for Ron. He is one of the sweetest guys. I love seeing him at conventions. He's always a fun time indeed.
Right. Yeah, I'm excited too. I haven't met Ron, but we chatted briefly online. Brian and I chat with all the time because we're working together right now with Eric Hawkins on a celebrity ghost hunting comic book, which the Kickstarter will start mid-September. And these are... Yeah, to be able to work with Jimmy Starr and Ron Russell, it's amazing. I never thought in a million years I would be connected to such celebrity in Hollywood and be accepted and go to the parties and just, you know, the career just took right off. And but they're all great people. That's the thing. So be able to have them partner with them and have all that viewership right from SoCon. It's amazing. It's truly amazing. And that's what I do. I spread amazing, and I like to help others, and this will benefit the con and benefit other people that are there and, of course, benefit us.
And, you know, going back to what you were saying earlier, I think you should work on inventing that thing to call dead people. Just make some kind of phone you can call the afterlife and, like, hey, my Uncle John, I need to ask him something. Da-da-da-ding, like, he picks up. That's where the money is going to be.
Listen, that reminds me of my grandmother when we always have her interpret the dreams, and she says, what am I going to have a phone in the coffin? You know, is this what this comes to? You know, she's talking and falling, put that telephone in there. I said, yeah, sure. One thing I did want to mention about SoCon is that what I'm doing is I've teamed up with the Mattoon Food Community Food Center. And when people bring me a non-perishable food item, I'm giving them a picture of myself autographed. And this is like a $20 gift for a can of beans or a can of corn or a non-perishable item. And when I do come into areas, I mean, they're gracious enough to have me there. And I am making money selling pictures. But I also give back to my communities that I go and see, whether it's a food pantry or it's an animal shelter or something like that. I feel giving back to the community is key. I feel that way. I don't know how anybody else feels, but that's what I do. I always try to team up with something or do something. And if the case that I can't do that because time is slim, I'm going from one con to the next, then I like to make a donation of, like, wish list items. And I just go in and give them anonymously. I just hand them over and go. So I'm always trying to, you know, promote giving, have people be able to give and share. And so that's very important to me. And so you'll see those posters. And I've done stories already on it in different newspapers right out of the Mattoon area. So it looks like we're going in heavy with the publicity and getting people to be able to help so we can do a giving situation.
I'm almost betting that someone is going to tell you it's Mattoon. But it's so funny. Mattoon. Everybody, anyone who doesn't live here calls it Mattoon. And people think it's so funny.
Hey, listen, I'm from New Hampshire. You know, I'm from New Hampshire. I've got a southern accent, and I sound like I'm from the Bronx at times. So I don't pronounce it at all.
You're
a
world
traveler. I'm just looking forward to going. That's it. Yeah. Yes, I do travel a lot.
Well, thank you so much. The last thing I always like to ask, of course, you're going to be at SoCon. But what does the future hold for you? I mean, you can plug your website and tell everybody what you got coming up.
Well, exactly. Go to queenoftheparanormal.com. From there, you can hit all the social media sites. I have movies coming up. I have 47 awards on IMDb. You can go over there and count them. 18 of the 47 are IMDb qualified awards, which is an award that is supported by IMDb. I have 8 on my page. The rest of the 10 are on Chris and Eno's page, our director, and Tag Team Productions is a company that I work for. So I've got a lot of awards when it comes to being, a producer, making films and acting in them and stuff like that. So and they're all paranormal based. And well, anyway, you go to the website and you find all that out. I'm doing 2 books, one with Billy Diamond for children's books and one with Guy Gilchrist, another children's book. These books are hard-hitting issues, whether it's child abuse, sex abuse, and bullying, and we're doing it in an easy manner that preschool students can understand. They're doing the illustrations, and I'm writing the book. So we are extending the paranormal and to think positive when it comes to a negative situation. And that's what I do. I expand the boundaries of the paranormal, not just to go ghost hunting, but to all aspects of positivity and healing.
That is very awesome. I love that you continue to give back everywhere you go. That's a great quality to have in somebody.
Well, you know, I think it's really important. We're in your community. We're in your community, and we're selling our pictures for money, okay? And, yes, some people get paid, some don't get paid. But the brass tacks is, it's good to give back. They're having you as a gift, and they're still paying you for your pictures and paying you for your products. Isn't it nice to give back, too? You know, I can't for the life of me understand why more people don't do it, or celebrities. Everybody's so money-driven, greedy, and all this stuff like
that.
And I just won't have it. I mean, I will not have it. And so this is how I raise my children, to give back, and this is what I do. I'm an example to, and I don't beat people over the head about it, but it's just something that I do, and I foster, you know, that in my kids, and that's how we run a company. We are the company, my children and I.
Yeah, I think that's awesome that you're helping the food pantry out, and you help out animal shelters as well. Because like you said, a lot of people, you go to a convention, you're like, yeah, $50 for a picture, and get out of here, kid.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's great to that's why I like these smaller town conventions, because people are willing to give back to the communities and meet someone without, you know, needing to sell, feeling like they need to sell something to you.
No, they're actually getting something. You know, I'm giving them, you know, the autographed picture, free photographs, and the food pantry benefits as well. And if I do have anything left over, I will be collecting for the Genesis Animal Shelter. I know they're all volunteers, and it's hard to get a hold of them, but I did research that and left them a call as well. So it's good to come in like that and be well received and hopefully make a good impression, and maybe people will want me to come back.
Absolutely. I think you're going to enjoy it, and I can't wait for SoCon. I can't wait to meet you. You sound like a wonderful person and a really
great
spirit.
To meet you. Big hug, big hug for you and everyone that comes by. I just love to share the energy of love. It's a great feeling to give somebody a hug and leave them with a good feeling. Yeah, it
I
is.
Love giving people hugs too. I always have, but unfortunately, it seems like some people are like, "Oh, get away from me! I don't like hugs." And I'm like, "It's a love thing. You gotta give a hug to give a little love."
Listen, and just smiling and giving somebody an embrace can leave them with such warm feelings that they will go home or they will see somebody on the street and they'll smile. And one smile has another smile attached to it, and then another smile. And I've seen it time and time again where I could see somebody very rigid, and they come to me, I give them a great big hug, and before you know it, they're like, "Wow, you know, I really needed that. I feel good." And I said, "Good. That's how I want you to feel. I want you to feel good." And what people don't understand is it truly is paranormal, because how many people actually do it? Almost zero. You can't find anybody that's going to come up to you and give you a big embrace and tell you, "You know what, you're okay. This is all good." And that's what I do. And I try to carry that legacy, like I said, with my children and our company and to the people that we meet. And with the paranormal, they can ask me any question. I'm right there to demonstrate and show them the energy, you know, from the past, and do readings and different things that I do for people. And I'm just hands-on. So we're going to have a good rocking time. We're going to have a blast.
I can't wait. It's going to be awesome, KO. Thank you so very much for joining us today. Have a great night.
And thank you, too. And you, too. We'll talk soon. Talk to you in a couple days, less than a week.
Yes, can't wait. It's going to be so awesome.
All right. I'll talk to you later. Bye. Bye, everybody.
All right.
Bye.
All righty, guys. Big thanks to Catarosha owner Carol KO. If you guys tuned in late or something, you can go back in about 10 or 15 minutes and download the archived interview. Listen to the full thing. It was a wonderful, very informative chat. And be sure, if you're in Central Illinois, to check out SoCon September 6th and 7th, 2019, at the Cross County Mall in Mattoon, Illinois. We will be back tomorrow with actress Brianna Dinsky. She's the star of DreamWorks' new film, Wonder Park, co-starring with a bunch of great actors and actresses, including Kenan Thompson,
and Jennifer Garner. It's going to be a really cool talk with her, a young up-and-coming actress who really has a bright career ahead of her. September 4th, actor Jose Santiago Jr. returns to the show. Of course, he's going to be discussing his new film, Joanna. He's been on such TV shows and films as Chicago Fire, Sinister 2, Chicago PD, and Squatters. September 5th, author and owner of Rising Tide Publishing, my old friend Brian Kim Morris returns ahead of his appearance at SoCon. September 9th, filmmaker, makeup artist, and actress Athena Prochodko. That is one of the hardest names I've ever had to pronounce, but I got it right. She is going to be joining us, and she's one of the hardest working ladies in independent film. Going to be great talking with her. September 12th, actor, director, writer, producer Peter Elbing is joining us, British-born actor. He wrote the screenplay for Honey, I Blew Up the Kid. He's also been seen on such shows as Murphy Brown, Criminal Minds, Laverne and Shirley, Shaft, and Fuzz. Wow. All right, guys, we will see you tomorrow. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great night.